It's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer from the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to answer your questions about the great outdoors. Call in now at 888-898-2525 and join SC Wild on the Sports Talk Media Network.
Well, even the good major gets a vacation every so often. Hardest working man in the outdoors, Major Billy Downer, not with us tonight for this edition of SC Wild from the Department of Natural Resources here on Sports Talk. However, coming in out of the bullpen, we have got a very capable replacement as Michael Thomas is joining us tonight from the Department of Natural Resources, and his subject tonight is something very important here in the state of South Carolina. You know, you see abandoned cars all over the place, all over the state, junk cars piled up in some cases. What about boats? I mean, you got thousands and thousands of boats all around the state of South Carolina. What happens to them when they're no longer usable, when they grow old, when they break down? What do people do with them? Abandoned boats is a big issue here in the state, and Michael's going to tackle that topic tonight. Michael, welcome to SC Wild here on Sports Talk.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me. Happy to be here and hopefully, you know, open some eyes and let the folks out there know, you know, what they can do when they're seeing abandoned vessels, you know, along the state's waterways from the mountains all the way down to the coast. You know, we're we picked this up pretty much hot and heavy about 6 years ago. We started down the coast, you know, there was a certain area that had a pretty good concentration of abandoned boats in Georgetown County. It was downtown. You know, these boats obviously pose a huge environmental hazard, but they're an eyesore as well. They're a navigation hazard, you know, partially blocking channels, you know, on the coast, in the lakes, you know, like I said, rivers. So we started to address them, and you know, once we started to address them, there was a law in place, but that law, it took about 90 days to deem a boat abandoned where we could lay hands on it and remove it. You know, it went through a process of, you know, identifying the boat, tagging the boat, sending certified letters out to the last, you know, previously known owner, whether it be documented through the Coast Guard or, you know, registered through South Carolina or another state. So it's quite a lengthy process, you know, and some of those vessels, you know, if they were floating or partially floating, you know, within 90 days, a lot of these vessels would just go ahead and sink, which, you know, the cost of removing it goes up, you know, in the worst condition. And you know, if we got one floating and we can get it cleared, then, you know, obviously the cost is down more getting it there. And then, you know, obviously funding was an issue back when we first, you know, really started to address these. There was no money set aside, you know, for this. So we were, you know, for lack of a better term, you know, we were beg, borrowing, and stealing. And fortunately, you know, a lot of the local county and city governments were responded, you know, with overwhelming support by sending, you know, track hose and dump trucks and hauling this stuff to the dump for us, you know, once they were cleared. And, you know, we'd bring them to it. We'd tow them. We would use our dive team to float sunken ones. We'd float them up, get them to these, you know, designated areas, and then take them out. And the county was doing this, you know, on their own dime. So Georgetown and Beaufort's kind of where we started. And then obviously as we started doing those, you know, Horry jumped on board. Charleston County's jumped on board. You know, we've had outpouring of support. Colleton County's now on board. So we've had a lot of support, you know, back under the old laws, you know, from a lot of private organizations. Wounded Nature has been a big help. You know, they're a nonprofit that enlists the help of wounded veterans, our veterans in general, just to come and help at these cleanups. They help tow boats for us. So we just got an outpouring of support, and then it just expanded from there. You know, now I was looking at some numbers earlier. You know, we're close to over 200 boats being taken out of the water in 6 years. And, you know, DNR we may not have been the direct source for getting the boat pulled, but we either did the investigation on it and got it cleared and a nonprofit or a county government or somebody took it out, or we got it cleared and, somebody, a private citizen would take it out. So a majority of them, we've had our hand in some degree. But, two boats out of the waterway, that was a big push and a big help. And, now we're wide open on it. I mean, we're constantly getting calls. We're staying on top of them. And we're trying to expand it statewide. We've gotten some out of Lake Marion. We recently had one in Greenville County, and we were prepared to, start the process on that. Somebody came and got it out the water, which is what we want. We want whoever's responsible for the boat. If you own the boat, and they're ultimately responsible. One big thing that occurred is last year, a new law went into effect. Senator Campson and really the entire legislature, they got behind this. They gave, the new law. What it did is really shorten that time frame that it takes to deem a boat to be abandoned, and it added another component of it. It can be an abandoned or a derelict vessel, and there's a pretty significant difference in them. But both of them, the time span from 90 days to, let's say, worst case scenario would be like 52 days it would take us to get a boat out from the time we identify it, or it's made known to us and we go out and survey it and then tag it as either abandoned or derelict. We're able to get the boat out in much less time, which reduces the state of that boat being partially sunk to going completely submerged or floating to partially. And so that was a huge help, and it gave us some better fines to levy against the individuals that are leaving these boats out there. So it opened up a lot more avenues to get these things moved out faster. And since then, I mean, we've been pretty much nonstop. We've had some great cleanups down in Charleston and Georgetown County, mm-hmm. And all the other counties along the coast have been taking part in the new law as well. So we're steady getting them out at a Ori. We just had a boat removed out of there a couple of weeks ago. We got some moves planned down in Beaufort coming up, Lake Marion. We've got some there. So it lays out a very, very clear picture of the steps that have to be taken. We ensure that we follow all the steps just like we did with the previous law. And, the timing is really good. And then, the legislature was kind enough also to attach some funding to it, which is obviously, with anything, a pretty big deal. So now we're able to put out solicitations for some of these larger items. Within the past, I think the law went into effect May of last year, the beginning of May of last year. We removed a Navy vessel from down in Bohicket Creek in Charleston County. We removed another barge from down in the same area, up on the Intercoastal Waterway, right on the edge of the Intercoastal Waterway, huge navigation hazard, obviously a steel-hulled barge, just falling apart out there in that salt water, creating a huge environmental hazard. So, we're able to get some of these larger projects done with the funding that was provided for. So we're excited about that. And hopefully, we're getting the same funding again this year to continue to push this important process.
Mm-hmm. So several questions. That's great stuff that you just shared with us. As we're talking about abandoned boats here across the state of South Carolina, not just in the low country where you might think with the ocean and everything down there. We're talking with Michael Thomas from the Department of Natural Resources tonight. So, number one, why would somebody just flat out abandon a boat? Would it be because the boat is no longer any good? Is it because he no longer can afford the boat? What are some of the compelling reasons for just leaving your boat wherever you want to leave it and just walk away from it?
Well, you touched on two good ones right there, two examples. But, as we've dealt with these boats, like I said, from all areas of the state, mainly starting out on the coast, I tell everybody each one's got its own nightmare story. Like they buy a boat, think, oh, yeah, we're going to fix it up, and then it becomes too much of a burden either financially or – they just don't have the time to do it, and then they just leave it out there anchored. And then it just falls into a state of becoming derelict. Hatches are not open, water gets in it, then it starts getting worse and worse, and then it starts sinking. And we have anchors, the anchors drag on high wind days or tides, and so they just become a continual problem. Or somebody may move down here and sell the boat to somebody else who thinks they're going to fix it up, and then they decide they don't want to do it, and they sell it to somebody else. So there's a history that develops with some of these boats that goes back, four or five owners. They're just passed. Oh yeah, I'll give you this boat if you give me that one. They trade. It's a different story for each one of them. Sometimes there's other states that Florida's got a pretty good abandoned boat law. So some of those folks, just to get away from that law down there, and how Florida enforces it, they'll just move to Georgia, South Carolina, wherever they can, and get away with, leaving a boat that's in disarray or in ill repair, and they'll leave it, in the state. So the new law really, really gave us some teeth to put in these folks, and we're hoping to get word out. South Carolina is not your dumping ground.
Yeah. So when you find a boat that's been abandoned, do you often find that the license and the numbers, everything that identifies the boat, are they still on it, or do people scrape those off, try to cover up the identity of the boat? If that's the case, how do you find out who owned the boat and try and track these people down? Then when you track them down, what is the fine for the people who abandon a boat in, the public waterways or whatever? What's the fine for that?
Yeah, so you brought up a good part and a good point. And one of the things that the new law identifies that the old law didn't, it identifies an abandoned vessel versus a derelict vessel. And the processes are somewhat streamlined to a degree, but there's a few extra steps taken, taken to just to determine, ownership. If ownership can't be determined, then it goes another route. But it all ends up, within that worst case scenario, 52-day time period where we're able to get the boat out. So an abandoned boat under the new, the new law is, it's one where it does not have any kind of visible identifier. The hull ID, attached to nearly all boats, somewhere on it, and there's usually one on the back of a boat on the starboard side. If that's not there, sometimes there's some hidden ones on some boats, and our investigators, they'll help us look, that, they'll tell us where to look. They actually come down and help do them. So an abandoned vessel is one where we can't find a visible identifier. The state numbers on the side are gone.
Mm-hmm.
There's no even ghost lettering. If we can find some kind of ghost lettering, usually we can run that down and have a starting point somewhere. It may have been three, four, five previous owners ago, but at least we can find out, hey, who'd you sell the boat to? And then we start tracking that down, which is, a pretty lengthy process. But the old law and the new law, they both safeguard, we're not going to go out there and take somebody's boat who's actively keeping it up, who's maintaining the boat, who's checking on the boat. That is not our intent at all. And we take, we're probably extra cautious. We give extra time, to make sure that these investigations are complete and thorough, so that we're not taking somebody's boat, that is doing right, because it is, completely within the law to leave a boat out there, as long as it's got proper documentation, proper registration, proper lighting on it at night. So we definitely don't want to do that. So an abandoned vessel's one has no identifier. It's wrecked or junk, meaning that it's hatches open. It's just floating, drifting, whatever. Maybe it's way up in the marsh, or it's way up in the trees on a lake or a river. So that's an abandoned one. So what we'll do is we'll tag that one. It'll stay tagged 10 days. And like I said, we don't have anybody that, we know to call, because there's no identifier on, sunken vessels. We went as far as sending our dive team down to either try to float the boat up so that we could try to find an identifier on it, whether it be a state number or a hull ID number, whatever it may be, so that we could start the investigation process. So abandoned, no identifier, it's tagged, it goes through the time. And obviously, we don't know whose boat it is, but it goes out there, we keep a tag on it. If it's sunk and just the mast is sticking up, like a lot of sailboats down on the coast and some maybe on the lake, could be, we'll tag that. So if somebody's coming to check on their boat, within a 21-day time period, they should, we expect somebody to go by and look at their boat within that time period. I think that's very reasonable. To see if it's sunk, see if it's okay, see if the lights are working, whatever it may be. And if they see that tag, there's a number on it. They call us, they let us know. We say, hey, your boat's been tagged as abandoned. You need to, obviously there would be some registration issues there if there's not an identifier on a boat. So, but that would give us a leg up. So that would pause the process. We would run through that with somebody who says, yes, that's my boat. And we, help them to get it correct. If they don't, nobody contacts us, after we put a tag on it. It's just a, like a 12 by 12 placard that's placed on it. It's got all the contact numbers on it. It's got the officer that's leading the investigation on it. So they have more than enough ways to get in touch with us to let us know. So abandon one, we don't have anybody to charge. We just need to get the boat out. So it goes through the time limit. Nobody's contacted us, then good to go. We'll try to work to get that one removed. And sometimes, even if we identify one, it's going through the process. We try to coordinate these cleanups where, if there's several boats in an area, they may not all be cleared. When I say cleared, going through the time limit, the complete investigative process, where we can get all of them out at once. Because, these counties are even, even if we're paying a contractor to get all these boats, we'd rather them get them all at one time, instead of going one day and then coming back again. So it may be that one's cleared the investigation and it's staged for removal. And then we'll try to get all of them out at the same time. And then the other side of it, which you brought up, is derelict boats, ones that are, up in the marsh, up in the trees, got hatches open where water's getting in them, imminent danger of sinking, imminent danger of causing, damage to other property, by dragging anchor, drifting. So that one is tagged the same way, but there is a visible identifier on it. There is a hull ID number. The one I was talking about, this one usually on the starboard corner of the boat. Or there's state registered numbers on it. It can be South Carolina, any state. Our officers, once they make initial contact with that boat and start the survey and they get a number or any kind of identifier, they'll run it to see who the last known owner is. At that time, they will try to make contact within 24 hours of that person. They'll send, if there's an email address attached to it, phone number attached to it, any way they can try to make contact with that person, they will take all reasonable steps to try and get in touch with that registered owner. They'll provide written notice. We still do send a letter to the last known address or telephone number, email. We try to do everything. We've got a letter that's ready to be sent out. It's kind of a form letter. We just plug and play with it. Plug in whatever vessel we're dealing with, and that letter immediately gets sent out. And we'll give them the vessel's location, the description, because there could be a possibility. As I said, all these boats have their own story. It broke anchor, it drifted down a river or down, up the lake, down the lake, wherever, and the owner's actually actively looking for it but can't find it. And then once we do make contact with them, then hey, yes, I'll come get it, and hopefully solves that issue. But on those are something where if we go out and tag a boat as it has an identifier on it and we're able to find the last registered owner, we send that information, try to make contact with them within 24 hours. The boat's tagged. If it goes completely through that process, then the fine at the end of it could be up to $10,000. So like I said, this law really does allow us some, obviously, our officers have discretion with fines. If it's somebody who's trying to work, who's willing to work with us to help get the boat issue resolved or get the boat removed, obviously, if they can do that within the time frame, then no fines may be levied again. It could be a, hey, don't let this happen again. And if it does, then we could, address the situation differently. But If one goes through the process and there is an option for somebody to come in, like I said, just saying, hey, I'm trying to get it out. If they submit us a written report saying what they intend to do, like a planned, just a plan to get the boat either remedied or get it removed, it allows them another time period. It allows them another, another grace period. And from there, if they don't do any of what they said they were going to do when they gave us the plan, it's just a plan that shows they're actually going to take care of the boat. If they don't do that, then they cannot submit another plan. We re-tag the boat again with a new start date. It goes through that date. And that was what I was talking about, referring to the 52-day process. If we were to tag a boat, somebody was to give us a plan, they were to fail to follow through with that plan, we would re-tag the boat, and then it would go to 52 days. Well, 51 days, we usually allow, an extra day or two just in case lost in the mail. Folks tend to wait till the last minute to do some things. So we make sure they hadn't resubmitted another plan or they hadn't taken action, to remedy whatever problems, whatever's making that derelict, whether it be up in the marsh, they pull it back out, they close the hatches, they fix them, they put a light on it, get the current registration on it, and they're showing that they're going to take care of it. That's not a boat that that we're trying to take out. We're trying to get the ones where nobody contacts us. The boat continues to be a problem, and once it goes through that process, if nobody contacts us or submits any kind of plan, 21 days later, we're able to deem that boat abandoned and or derelict, and then get it out of the water. So the timelines are so much better for us, and the fines are better. It's just a win all the way around so far. Obviously some boats are already sunk before we get a notice of them. We take some steps. We still try to make contact with the owner or the last owner. And as you mentioned before, some of these boats are four or five owner. Oh yeah, I gave it to Joe Blow. Oh yeah, I sold it to and it's just it's a saga of hey, okay, it's last registered in your name. We can't find these other people. Yes, they sold a boat without transferring a title. Are you willing to sign it over to DNR, to organization that's willing to get it out of the water? And a lot of those folks, they don't want them in the water. They didn't sell it in that state of disrepair. They sold it thinking somebody was going to enjoy the boat or whatever, and by no means do they want it to become any kind of environmental hazard or navigation hazard, and they're like, yeah, we're completely out of it, please get our names out of it. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of compliance stuff to where previous owners who have sold the boat, or oh, I can't remember who I sold it to, after our investigation's over, if we think that's the course of action that was taken on that boat, and we can get a clear title on it, or we can get a letter stating that they, an affidavit pretty much stating that they are willing to give up ownership of that boat, then it's clear. And then that one gets removed too. And sometimes that can be a quicker process. That can happen within the first 24 hours. Hey, I don't have that boat. I sold it 10 years ago. And so we can speed the process up that way too. So, cause time is not our friend in these boats. They're continually wasting away. They're continually, becoming a problem. And believe it or not, once you see one boat anchored in an area, they seem to congregate there, so we try to, if we can get as many out of that area, if they're all either abandoned or derelict, we try to get the whole area complete so that other boats don't come in there and try to anchor with them and then become more problems down the road. And so we have these hot spots, in areas around the state.
Michael, we have run out of time, and fantastic job on your end getting the message out about these derelict boats and these left-behind boats, these abandoned boats. Hopefully people are getting the message from you and realizing that they got to clean up their mess or get in touch with you guys. It sounds like you're willing to work with people. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. I'm sure we'll talk to you again.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Michael Thomas from the Department of Natural Resources. That's SC Wild tonight here on Sports Talk. And that's all we got on this Over the Hump Wednesday. We'll see you tomorrow.